B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Those two are bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, where you at?
515-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Mountains and Maine. Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Don't take the pike.
So what did it end up being? Because the reason I it's funny, after you called me, I texted Fred just in case, as a heads up.
Yeah.
So you were stuck in this thing on the pike heading, I guess it would be eastbound, and right near the Pru. What did it end up being, the backup?
The backup was right to where the Alston-Brighton tolls used to be. You go around that curve inbound, and right as you come over the top next where BU and Aganis Arena is, that's where the traffic started, and it lasted all the way into the tunnel. Now, by itself, it's only about a mile and a half, but they closed two of the three lanes that were there, and there are a lot of 18-wheelers out there. I mean, it took forever, and I didn't know what the story was, so I called you and I called Dan to make sure, and Dan told me that there was some work being done in the Pru Tunnel, and a car hit one of a police car that was like cordoning off the two lanes.
It's odd they're doing work in the Pru Tunnel.
Yeah, and
it almost never happens.
Yeah, I know. And it's so
constant.
It's like 93 south of the city.
It's unbelievable.
93 south of the city. Is that like Quincy?
Yeah.
Where they're just moving things around every day.
Well, yeah. Well, that's like, I mean, they got that one lane that they've tried to make it. What is that called? The contraflow lane?
The zipper lane?
Yeah, it's the zipper lane. That's right. Which goes one way one day, one way one day. No, it's not even an HOV lane, is it? It's just an extra lane, is it?
It just works like a charm.
Oh, no, you're right. It is an HOV lane, but it only shows up
in the morning. It goes one way, in the afternoon it goes the other way, but they move all of the barriers.
And you know when they're moving the barriers?
In the middle
of the afternoon. You're trapped behind the thing that's moving the barriers.
See that machine?
Yes.
Spitting it out one end and sucking it in the other.
Yeah, I'm not going to Quincy again in my life.
I mean, it's almost not worth it because, I mean, there is never, the traffic is always miserable. I don't care what time of the day it is. 93 just south of the city is always a nightmare. Yep. Always.
Yeah.
So it ended up being like somebody smacked into one of these police cars.
Yeah, and they had taken two of the three lanes there, and it was about 100 yards before the tunnel as you go eastbound, and the traffic, it's the ultimate powerless feeling. You're sitting there, you're not moving, there's no escape, and I was trapped.
That's why I don't take the freeway here. Because you can go like 90 on Route 9. It's very...
it's true. In certain areas, you can.
I don't know the proper terminology for it, but there is, it's a feeling of electricity and very satisfying. All right, well, yesterday, a lot of people enjoyed this, and as did I. There was a viral video going around of Vince Neil from Motley Crue singing.
Hang on, real quick. Somebody said he saw the accident happen.
Really?
Oh, yeah, okay. On line one.
Okay.
All right. Well, this Vince Neil thing I wanted to do. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Joe, go ahead.
Oh, so it was on the Mass Pike. It happened a little after 4 o'clock. It was while they were still doing construction. The state trooper was on the right side of the highway in front of the blinking arrow that told morons to get over, and some idiot in a red Toyota just plowed into the back of him. It was probably one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life.
How fast was he going? Was he going? I mean, at that point, had he slowed down before he hit it, or was he going full speed?
I didn't see the lights, but the front bumper of the car was pushed back until the driver's side passenger door.
That's yeah, it was bad. I saw the car on my way by. It was still there at 5 in the morning or 5:15 in the morning when I went through there, and it was turned all the way around. It was facing the wrong way when I saw it.
I was stuck there for 26 minutes until I followed a cop trying to get to the exit.
Smart man. I wish I had that option. That would have been great.
But yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw the accident happen and then was stuck there for 30 minutes. It was really bad.
And then you
get back to work.
Yeah, and then you thought that you were, you know, you're leaving early. You don't hit traffic.
Exactly.
You're doing the best that you can. And then there you go. Then you're trapped. That's not a good feeling.
That's always like a nightmare of a job anyway, is having to be at night one of those people who's standing over, like, doing construction on the side of the road. I mean, that's a nightmare. And for someone to not even see the police car, that's just someone who's, I mean, because, I mean, that's a straightaway, right?
Isn't yes.
that
a straightaway? It is a straightaway.
How little do you need to be paying attention to not see that coming? It's not like it was around a corner or anything. Nope. I mean, you see it for
a good half
20
a mile.
Seconds?
No, yeah, a good half a mile before you get to that spot.
Well, tell you what they were probably doing. Checking out Facebook. Seeing what was going on.
Could be.
Seeing what someone's baby said. Me. Hey, you want to eat something? They. Cheerios.
Well, it is the truth, though. I mean, how many red lights have you been at now that turn green and the guy doesn't move and you see that they're checking out their phone? I mean, it happens all the time. It might happen several times a week to me where there's a green light and someone's looking at their phone and they're not even paying attention.
Well, driving through Dorchester on the way home, there's people that are going, like, super slow, and I just assume that they can't get pulled over. Like, that if they got pulled over, it would be a major situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because I see what you're saying.
They're going so slow.
Like, they're going right under the speed limit?
Yeah. Under the speed limit. Like, say the speed limit's, like, 30. They're going 25. Because the speed limit is just a suggestion. It's not really. I mean, let's be honest. And I'm thinking, and there'd be, like, 8 guys in a car, and I'm thinking, they can't afford to get pulled over. Like, if they get pulled over, all hell breaks loose. So that's worse than looking at your phone. I mean, sometimes you got. I mean, if you text, you got to get right on that. Got no time to pull over.
You just have to hop right on.
Yeah, I mean, the people need to know what they need to know. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Don't text and drive. Come on. Think about it.
I saw somebody making a video while they were driving the other
what?
Day.
What?
But that's sweet, though.
Oh, driving and making a video as they were driving.
Oh, maybe they're a viral sensation.
They're either making a video or FaceTiming someone. All I know is they were holding up. They're holding the wheel in the left hand. They're holding their phone in the right hand, and they were talking to it and looking into it. So
that's outstanding. It was stupid.
It was probably FaceTime. But I mean, if you're FaceTiming while you're driving, they should just immediately suspend your license
for a while. I don't know. Maybe, you know, the people want to see them. I mean, you guys are always you're throwing stones.
There's certain people who work here who I've seen that happen. They post a video driving. I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Well, it only happens once or twice a week, though, with him. So.
Like, well, what are you doing, man? Yeah. Driving.
Yeah. Zolak has sent me pictures of him driving to Bruins games. I get quite a few pictures of the Zoe. Zolak has a unique ability to multitask.
I don't know if it's an ability. I think it's more along the lines of a necessity with him.
Necessity to multitask. Like, he can't sit still and just do one thing.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, his brain moves too fast.
Yeah. He's got a photographic memory.
I can see that.
He's got to get these things going.
By the way, I love how all of these different companies, too, and like they try to figure out a way where you can do everything hands-free by talking. None of that stuff works.
Works in my car.
So you can just say, hey, play my favorite song, and your song's on?
I don't know. I don't do that.
It never works for me.
See, my dad broke the thing that holds the seat down. It wasn't that he warped the track that makes the seat go back and forth.
Yeah.
He literally broke the metal underneath the seat. And come to find out that when they built my car, not only did they put the driver's side door on wrong, they put the passenger side door on wrong.
Jeez. So that's leaking too?
It's not nearly as bad, but my wife, being OCD, had them look at it, and indeed it's off. So when my car got off the assembly line, they had not put the doors on correctly. And my father managed a way to crack, like break, not crack, break the metal that the seat sits on.
That's because he sat the wrong way to launch himself out the door when he was done with
got
the car.
Like, he's got like bad knees and stuff.
Sure, so. No, but I'm just saying he was rocking himself back and forth sideways.
Yeah,
to
but
get
that
out.
Is I don't think the car, because the cars are meant to take, you know, an accident, and I don't think the seat normally cracks. My father put such force onto it that he bent the metal. All right, I want to hear this Vince Neil stuff again. The Bruins game yesterday meant nothing.
Red Sox game does need to be discussed, though.
The Bruins game, they played and the referees reffed it like everyone had a plane to catch. It was great. It was 5-6 minutes of continuous play at a time.
Yeah.
People would kill each other in the corners. The refs did nothing. Just let that clock run, baby.
Yep. Because the Bruins didn't play anybody. So,
no.
I mean, it's kind of a non-factor. But I do want to hear this Vince Neil stuff. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
Last night. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We'll get to what happened last night. Confusion in the outfield and more crappy pitching for the Red Sox, and then the Bruins had a nice game, but none of it matters. Subsension, baby.
Woo!
Seneschen.
All right.
Was
first
he
goal?
A first-round pick?
Yes. He was part of the three in a row. Yes. There was Zboro, there was Seneschen, and there was DeBrusque.
All right.
I think DeBrusque was the middle one.
Stop showing off. All right. Well, are you aware? You weren't here, Wallach, and you wouldn't answer our calls. But did you hear?
But can I just ask him one thing?
Sure.
Leon Poe.
Yes. What about Leon?
I asked him off the air.
Oh, did you? Okay. Leon Poe. Obviously, everyone likes Leon Poe. He seems to be a very nice guy.
He is.
Okay.
Smart man.
All right.
Went to Cal.
Did you throw out your back picking him up and trying to make him be effective and pulling anything out of him?
Leon was just fine on the broadcast the other night.
We played some clips, and Leon, it was like his added commentary left a lot to be desired in that it was like two or three words.
I prefer the word succinct.
Okay, all right. He was very succinct.
Well, Wallach off the air said, again, he reiterated how smart he thought he was and how nice a guy he was, but didn't admit that it is a bit of a struggle.
It's not as easy of a gig as you think
it is. It's not.
Just because you played the game doesn't mean you can speak to it and and be a decent radio broadcaster.
Now, to be fair, that's the first game he did all year, and they just kind of threw him in there on 24 hours notice.
I think color commentary would play-by-play would be difficult. I think color commentary would be fairly easy.
Not if you're not used to doing any kind of broadcasting, which I don't think Leon Poe is.
I think Leon's done maybe 5 games in 8 years.
I mean, I could do what Cedric Maxwell does.
Well, you also work on the radio. Yeah. It's completely different. He's someone who doesn't do that for a living. So
it's not so difficult. You just sit there. And then you go,
well, he did. He did. He just sat there.
Yeah, but you open your mouth and make noise.
Well, that's the Cedric Maxwell way. When you got nothing to say, just start naming foods and make noises.
Well, I mean, you eat. Well, you eat every sweet, but yet you don't have diabetes.
And speaking of making noises.
All right. Thank you.
I didn't see how you were going to do that.
All right. I went to see Van Halen whenever they came here. They were at the Garden. And they were my favorite band for many, many years. And I was excited to see them with David Lee Roth. It was like a dream come true that was always sold out when I was a kid. And they played Unchained, my favorite song by Van Halen. And I left halfway through the song because David Lee Roth refused to sing.
So he just like sang like every third word pretty much.
Well, I mean, he didn't even do that when we saw him, but he's Pavarotti compared to who we're about to play. Vince Neil, he who've killed a friend of his while drunk, and you've seen the dirt, and he has obviously not slowed down his lifestyle. They were playing Rock in Rio. It was the final tour of Motley Crue, and they had pyrotechnics everywhere. Female backup singers that Mick Mars marries and that they take him for all his money. There's a lot going on, but Vince Neil, in a very frustrating fashion, doesn't remember the words to songs that I haven't heard for 20 years and know the words to.
How about he has sang these words 250 times a year for how many years?
Yes, I know that. And I'm just reiterating that, like, I don't listen to these songs.
Right.
I know the words from when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
Younger.
So I saw about a minute of this going around. I was just like, dude, I'm going to watch as much as I can. So I found the entire performance. And, I mean, it's really just something to behold. Vince Neil, this is how he sounded live. And once again, they put in a ton of cash into pyro, stuff flipping around in order to just, hey, please do not pay attention to the singer.
Yeah, like, and I bet you that they didn't make a ton of money because they invested so much into the stage show. So, here you go.
Happy Booty Day.
Now we got a cop helping me. Midnight 103 in my house. Ooh, ready, girls? Ooh, ready now? Whoa, yeah. Keep summer high, can't hit a knock.
And then right there. Kickstart my heart, hope it never stops.
Yeah.
He can't recall that lyric.
He bought me hot pot, see me hot.
Kickstart my heart. Yeah. Baby,
yeah. Turn on a nigga.
Stop. That is skydive naked from an aeroplane.
Yeah, skydive naked.
Anyway, hey, my heaven! Heaven of he!
Like, my friend Jamie, bear them away!
Look, I mean, you almost have to try to not say the proper words.
I don't understand why it would be more difficult to say skydive naked from an aeroplane than go,
peace in my heart. Oh. Come on. Two-bell in my eye. Looking for another good time.
He's got two bells in his eye, which is obviously...
Two-bell in my eye. Two-metal in my eye.
I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, ready, girls. Yeah, ready.
Okay, guys, he's gonna break it down. A little soul here.
We was on this plan. All we needed was a lab. Years come by, say we.
You sing it.
Oh, honey, rage, here to stay. Train to lead the road, you hear my beat, and I say, we're still.
I mean that's heavy metal Bob Dylan right there.
And by the way, maybe he was embarrassed to say they're still kicking ass. All right. But this was the piece de resistance. This is Dr. Feelgood. And again, this is a song I haven't popped on the album with Dr. Feelgood. That was maybe even before high school. But I haven't popped this album on in many, many years.
Oh, sure. But you know the words.
I know the words.
Rat tell Jimmy he's a secondhand hood, deals in Hollywood. Got a 65 power clean, traded for the powder goods. Jigsaw Jimmy, he's a run of the gang, and I hear he's once again
okay.
He's got a cozy little job, sells a Mexican mob, packages of candy cane.
All right. So that's...
I just know that when you hear parts of the chorus that are sung correctly, that is not only the women on stage, but it's also a recorded...
Yes, this is... Obviously, there's a recording of Vince Neil, and it still doesn't do any good. Does business all day.
Oh my God. Once again, imagine him walking on hot coals with bare feet. Was it?
I don't know why you can't remember the lyrics. And how it's any easier to just go, Scoobapoo, Jim Sound.
Jim Sound.
Because he finally gets like on track. Jim Sound. Now that's obviously a recording of Vince Neil.
That is a recording right there, yes. Is that what you call ham and eggs?
Is that what they call a ham and dam? He's the one that could eat what you call ham and bam.
Everyone's saying, when did Rock and Roll Mike become the lead singer?
Rock and Roll Mike lives outside!
Rock and Roll Mike lives outside is one of my favorite lines ever.
Well, he does occasionally. It does sound like ham and egg. Like he's looking off stage longingly.
I mean, if you see what he looks like nowadays, I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't think it has anything to do with food. I think of the way he looks at now is a lot of Xanax and a lot of alcohol. I got one thing that's easily understood.
Yeah.
I got one thing easily understood. How is it any easier to go?
I bet blasted out of my mind. I could sing this better than that.
Oh, yeah. You sang for a band. I could sing better than this.
Blasted out of my mind.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow, we suck.
He's a tweedle heater, whole lot of hay.
Say, we are.
It's like Cartman from South Park.
Yeah. I say,
It's a mix between Scooby-Doo and Cartman.
Adrenaline rushing through my veins, and I would say we are still kicking ass. But hugging me.
That was Who Dat Putty Cat Chubby B.
All right. When we come back, we can discuss the Red Sox and a Bruins team that is winning despite resting a lot of folk. So we'll hear all about that. Hear that, Lens.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Details.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Never argue with a crazy mama. Is that all you get for your money?
You should never argue with a liar. You should never argue with a
Oh, boy.
It's Vince Neil.
And then it turns into not him.
No, yes. It's his compilation with Das Racist.
Das Racist no longer a band. No. Sweatshop Boys got Heems now. And the dude that was in that the series on HBO about the guy who went to jail. All right, Rich.
Yes.
You want to start with
Let's start with the Sox. I'm not a fan of the term clown show, but yesterday's Red Sox game, well, really was indeed a clown show.
High fly, twisting it to right center. Pretty
I love that hit.
Yeah. Back end. Who's going to take it? And it's home!
It's happened twice.
They're looking at each other. Neither one of them made the play. You're talking about two Gold Glovers out there. Falls in, two-run score.
I thought Jackie was just sort of, he's there. You know how he casually goes about getting it. I said, well, I think he's got it. And then all of a sudden, he looked over at Mookie. That's Mookie Bradley. Looked over to him. Ball. And the ball hit the track.
I mean.
That's Bradley's ball.
Yeah.
That's what
center fielder
take
always
over.
Takes priority in
Absolutely.
One of those.
Absolutely.
Well, a routine fly ball dropped on the warning track right between Mookie Betts and Jackie Bradley Jr. as they both stood there in shock. And that play right there sums up the past week of Red Sox baseball.
That's Bradley's fault.
I mean, you
don't think so, John?
No, I just told you. This center fielder, that's basic baseball. Center fielder's the quarterback on balls in the gap. Every time.
That's Bradley's ball. You call him off.
Well, they barf up a bad one, 7-3 in Oakland. It was appropriate that the one game that all of us could be awake to see would be the worst one of them all. Starting with Eddie Rodriguez, who, of course, stunk up the joint. He gives up three in the third, three more in the fourth. And if you tally the amount of homers the Red Sox starters have given up in eight games, the answer would be 14.
Now, I loved, like, slappy-dappy dings. But I only like it when the home team does
them. No, I understand.
You don't like
away
diggers.
That's what
happened
yesterday, though. Home team did hit a home run. Steve Bisciotti, three-run homer.
Watch Bisciotti become, like, the greatest player in the
game. He was... For the last 6 weeks of the regular season, it was lost. Oakland won 96-97 games last year, but the Red Sox overwhelmed everybody. Oakland was a good team last year, and Pichotti was amazing the last 2 months of the season.
I always thought he was going to be good.
And he is now. He's very
good.
That
outfield is just power arms. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Well, let's get to that because, first of all, as far as the pitching, as I was mentioning, I read this in the Globe this morning. The starting rotation in just over 35 innings have given up 36 earned runs on 46 hits and 22 walks.
Yeah, a major league worst ERA of 9.08 through eight games.
22 walks.
Yeah.
That's the number that stands out the most.
You know what the amazing thing is? The bullpen, which doesn't have anyone of note, has been awesome.
Yeah, they've been good. They've been good.
They've been
fellas,
great.
I don't want to talk out of school, but chicks dig the long ball.
I've heard that. But it's not just the pitching that stinks as of late.
A little flare could be trouble, and it is. Mookie Betts is going to try for third, and he's out. He's out at third.
Yeah, thrown out by Laureano again. By the way, on the local broadcast, Eck did not approve. As it was mentioning earlier, I just love it when Eckersley cannot hide his disgust. It's like impossible for him to not just be like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
That's like when he wakes up next to some fatty.
That's what
he... So he wakes up and goes, oh.
He goes, oof.
Oh, man.
What'd you do?
What is this?
You went hogging.
So the Sox are now 2-6 and open up their season in last place in the AL East. And the way they're losing is just gross. To my point, they've committed 8 errors in 8 games. Well, yesterday was the first day that Alex Cora actually sounded pissed.
The whole game was initial. I pay attention to details. I love paying attention to details, and that's something that I took pride last year. And right now, we're not paying attention to details, so that's on us. That's on me. That's on the staff.
How frustrated do you think he is with Eduardo Rodriguez? Just how it's, I mean, he has been somebody that they've tried everything with, and nothing seems to work.
I wonder if he's still a little banged up.
Well, I mean, that's the other part of it. I mean, he's had an assortment of knee problems that have hurt him over the last couple of years. But, I mean, he was supposed to be the guy. I mean, you remember, they traded Andrew Miller for him to Baltimore and got him. And he was supposedly the next thing. And he's kind of topped out at being a third starter at best.
As for Mookie Betts, he was asked about that ball that dropped right between he and Jackie Bradley Jr. And he had this to say.
It was just one of those things. I think it was just right dead in the middle. I mean, one of us should have talked for sure.
Did anybody call for it just earlier?
No,
you can tell nobody called for it. And Jackie Bradley Jr. said this about it.
And if you guys call for it,
doesn't matter. Got it. The play has to be made. I mean, it's the last out. It's a big momentum swing, and there's no excuse for it.
Well, so hope
it absolutely matters. I mean, that's entirely.
I think it meant it doesn't matter. They should make it. Like, it doesn't matter if anyone called for it. Like, they should make that play.
Well, no, they have to communicate. It means everything. They didn't communicate. That's why that happened. What a dummy.
Jackie Bradley Jr., he doesn't know how to catch stuff. Well, hopefully a change of scenery is going to help the Sox. They head to Arizona for a series against the Diamondbacks. It's at 7:10 tonight. Well, I guess that might make the way they've started the season off might make Banner Day a little awkward. But it is coming, and it is this Tuesday at Fenway Park. And according to Sam Kennedy, they'll be celebrating 2 championships that day. He said, quote, "We've had a great tradition of celebrating and recognizing Boston teams and their championships. So we're excited to be celebrating 2 that took place. We're inviting the Patriots. And we're ecstatic that they're going to be there. It's going to be a great day," said Kennedy. But that was all Kennedy would say about the ceremony. He did not want to give up any spoilers. He said, quote, "We're going to have some surprises." Anyone ever heard of a little guy named Tim Wakefield? Yeah. We got some surprises.
Jason Paratek.
Who here has Jared Saltalamacchia fever?
Who from the Patriots is going to
Brady? Brady will be there.
I hope
Brady was there last town. Time.
I yes. hope Gronk shows up, because this is one of those times where he really has legit nothing to lose. He can go out there wasted. It doesn't matter. What did he tackle Brady last year? Yeah, was that last year?
It wasn't last year. It was the
last 2-3 years ago. Whenever had, it was after had, the Seattle Super Bowl.
It was the one before the Super Bowl. I mean, before this last one.
Gronk legit
Atlanta was the Atlanta
there.
Super Bowl.
It doesn't matter. The guy technically he's retired. He can go out there with a beer, pop the top, and go for it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be funny if Kraft just came out giving freedom rockets.
Really? He's just like, take this, boys.
This has a chance to be really awesome. Hey, if you think about it.
I'm only a man.
And then you've got, right, and behind him, you just got like this giant parade of guys all dressed like Robert Kraft. They come out like an army.
That's right.
It's like Rhythm Nation.
That's right.
Meek Mill takes
actually
the mic.
Actually, a very good call.
Meek Mill takes the mic. Yes.
That's right. Then Pyro goes off. Actually, he can just like Bon Jovi comes down on like a zip line.
Honestly, Gronk can like skydive into the building shirtless. It doesn't matter at all.
Hey, they're all going to be there. I mean, you say who's going to come, they're going to all come. I mean, you're going to have Devin McCourty will be there. Yeah. Edelman will be there. They're all going to be there.
All right.
Well, Brady's there. Edelman will be there. So
yeah.
You might be right. I just would. I don't know why they'd be around here right now, but what is it? Do they got something going on this week?
Well, Gronk's been hanging out in Southie, just trying to watch his boy, his best friend work out. Remember?
Oh,
there's that story.
Right.
Just like,
there's nothing I love more than watching a dude work out.
Well, I mean, that is the mind of Rob Gronkowski.
Especially Arms Day. If you're doing arms, I'm there. Buy a ticket to the gun show. All right, Rich, when we come back, what will we discuss?
All right, let's talk about the Bruins, because even when they're not trying, they're still winning.
That's true.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. If you want to feel old, today is the 25th anniversary of Kurt Cobain when Courtney Love killed him. So, feel old. One of the best moments in rock history was when they played the Video Music Awards and Chris Novoselic was acting like a badass and threw his bass in the air and it came right down on his face.
It was fantastic. This big geeky guy throws the thing way up in the air. It landed on his forehead, straight down on top of him.
I never got, like, why Nirvana was considered so, like, avant-garde.
Well, I mean, it was just because they were the first. They were the ones that broke through.
Right. I understand that, but I don't know why they were the ones.
Well, I mean, because think of the biggest grunge bands from that generation. They were better than Pearl Jam. They weren't better than Soundgarden, but Soundgarden wasn't as accessible. Well, Alice in Chains was the best of all.
But the thing is that, like, they acted like Nirvana was the first punk band.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the one cool thing that Nirvana did is that when people started following Nirvana, they were looking for new bands that Nirvana was inspired by. And that helped out a ton of these up-and-coming bands or bands that were living in vans. So, I mean, they truly fed, like, thousands of bands after that. And everyone was giving millions of dollars looking for the next Nirvana.
And they all failed.
Almost all of them. Tad didn't take off.
Oh, that's a big Tad, the massively fat guy.
That was great.
Didn't take off.
And giving money to the Melvins, I thought was a good thing because it was hysterical. And to be quite honest, the stuff that they did when they were on a major label, in my opinion, is the best stuff that they made. But either way, Nirvana, Nevermind's a really good album. It's just we've heard it so many times that it kind of falls on deaf ears. But that front to back is a really good album.
That may be the case. I'll tell you, and it could be because we played it so much, but that their MTV Unplugged, I hate.
See, I really liked that album. I thought
Man Who Sold the World, if you gave me a list of songs that I might never have to listen again, that would be one of them.
You didn't like Lake of Fire?
I don't recall in Lake of Fire. I just know The Man Who Sold the World.
See, that's I thought they
played
did
it every 5 seconds.
It was the perfect way to do something like that, where instead of just doing their own songs, they picked a bunch of songs from bands that they really liked, like the Meat Puppets, and they covered them, and they kind of made it their own, and I liked that. And I thought that was a cool way to approach the whole thing.
It's no Kiss.
It is not Kiss Unplugged, which you really can't.
They brought out Ace and the whole crowd went, like, ah!
Woo! And then Ace came out and started trying to sing. But then he just, like, wandered off stage and forgot where he was. And peed in a corner. Well, the Bruins, they're a team that's winning when they're not even really trying to win.
The line right side, here's DeBrusque, right of the net. Centered out in front, fired, they score! David Pastrnak collects that sweet dish from Jake DeBrusque and hammers one home. And with 2:45 remaining in regulation, the Bruins have a 2-0 lead over the Wild.
It's weird watching a game where the entire reason you're sitting in front of your TV is because you're crossing your fingers that no one gets injured.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game last night.
There weren't many hits at all last night. Neither team had anything to play for.
I mean, there
was not a lot of physicality, and you could hear it on the goal calls. I mean, Judd Surratt is usually a lot louder for a lot longer after the Bruins score goals.
I got worried about Kevin Miller. I mean, 20 seconds into the second period, he was bumped fairly awkwardly into the end boards, and we know what he's been dealing with this year.
He only played nine minutes. minutes and change last night.
So he limped off the ice. He went down the tunnel without putting much pressure on one of his legs. He did, however, return to the game late in the second toward the ends of like a Bruins power play. But he didn't start the third period on the bench. He ended up coming back out. But
I bet you he plays on Saturday.
They have to find out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to get him out there.
Char is going to play on Saturday. Char is going to play on Saturday. Miller's going to play on Saturday.
It's a perfect situation because neither team has anything to play for.
Marchand's going to play on Saturday. And they'll tell Bergeron will not.
You think they put Pastrnak out there?
Pastrnak will not.
Yeah, this was it. You got two games left in the regular season. U5 take the Wild game off. U5 take the Tampa Bay game off.
So I'll go Pastrnak will be out, who played last night. Bergeron. Maybe DeBrusk.
Yeah.
I bet you Carlo Krug.
Are they saying Thursday more than likely is going to be the opener?
Yes. That's what I heard.
That's okay. What Billy Jaffe said.
All right. There's like an event Wednesday night at the TD Garden, right? Okay. Ooh, Cher. Oh,
hell yeah.
She's still kicking it.
How about that?
So
she wears a slinky outfit.
She does. So Thursday, more than likely, will be when everything starts up. I think I heard we're going to have tickets to give away. How about that?
We'll think. It's a plan on having ticks.
Mm-hmm.
How old is Cher? Anyone want
to
guess?
I am going to guess that Cher was married to Sonny Bono in the early 60s.
Early 60s?
Certainly early to mid 60s, and I will I got you, babe, as a mid 60s song. I am going to guess if she was 20 in the mid 60s, I'm guess she's pushing 70 years old.
She is rich,
72
on the money, 72.
Yeah. Wow, how about that? Because I'm a huge Cher fan.
I'd still
gonna
drink
be 73 next month.
I'd still drink her bath water. Hey. If I could turn back time, I'd bang you. You know?
That's
a song, if I could turn back time.
I never even found why anyone found it. Do you remember when she made that one video?
Yeah, they put her on
they put on the aircraft carrier, and they had all these sailors screaming, like, I'll do anything for you, Sharon. I'm like, this is false advertising.
Yeah, I never found her overly attractive.
Like, I'm like, what are you doing?
But it was funny that she was with Sonny Bono. I was at the gym yesterday, and there was an old lady working out in the next stall. And she was playing crap from 1963. And I Got You, Babe was on. And I thought, you know, Cher was an attractive woman and very tall. And somehow Sonny Bono enraptured her. And she was very fortunate to never go skiing with him. You know, that's how he died.
He's got that Big D energy. Is that what it is?
Big D energy?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's what
that thing
means.
That just emits from a person where you're just like, yep, that guy's got the Big D energy.
Okay. I don't know what Big D means, but yeah, if you're talking about pheromones,
you know, it's that confidence that you walk around with. Like you're, you know, like you got something.
Women don't care about that unless they're completely loosey goosey.
By the way, it is not Cher, it is Muse. And I will be at that show. I would have been at Cher as well, but unfortunately.
Have your own box.
I do for that show. It just happened to be that if you want to go, Nick, you can. I mean, everyone's putting their hands up in the air. It's like it just happened to be that the tickets I got are in a box that is not being used. Yeah, so
Rich is the only nerd that wants to go see that band noodle around.
That band rules live.
All right.
Rules.
All right. What is this about
Hayward? Okay, so unfortunately, the Sports Hub, we are rabble-rousers once again. There are some members of this staff who have pissed off a member or family member of one of the teams here in town. We will get to that right after John Wallach's headlines.
And there's nothing more manly than having a family member go after the media. All right, no commercials here, just headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.